But, he pushed me. Even then, he helped me. And I just want to honor you, Vernon and Joella, amazing people, saints in the kingdom. Okay. I would have had pictures of my family. Maybe I'll have them tomorrow morning, but I am a family man. I have a daughter and a son, and now I have another son and another daughter. They're married, so a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And as of last August, I have a grandchild, a grandson. My daughter had a boy. His name is Austin, and he is fabulous. I never knew the excitement, the joy, the love that would pour out once I had a grandchild. I heard all the stories, and I thought, yeah, right. I'll wait till they're a junior hire, then I'll really love them. But no, I love him. He's so young, and it's great. But being a granddad, I have my top 10. Top 10 dad jokes. Where do musicians write their songs? In a notebook. Oh, they get better. Why don't pirates rake leaves? They don't like yard work. Got to say it right. Yard work. I'm working on it. What did the dog say when asked, what's on top of a house? Roof. Yeah, you guys got it. Your dog speaks. Did you know that? Why does bread take so long to digest? It loafs. Okay. I would stop here, but I don't have much. Did you know Jesus is divine? And we are deep branches. Very good. Who was the smallest person in the Bible? Oh no, Bildad, the Shuhite. Followed closely by Nehemiah. What do you call a fish with no eyes? I'm close. A fish. No eye. F-I. What did Adam say on the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve, Adam. It's always good to get one or two laughs. What sort of person was Boaz before he got married? Yes, he was ruthless. What's the difference between a fish and a guitar? You can't tune a fish. Okay, I'm almost done. Do you need to build a boat? I know a guy. He's an architect. Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, I'll be here all weekend. Being a granddad, being a dad, being old or getting older, my eyes don't work as well. So I'll be going back and forth between my glasses and what I've written down. Hopefully it'll stall just a little bit for me. So I had my top 10 dad jokes. Now God has top 10. Now they're not jokes, they're commandments. God has the top 10. These are not just commandments, rules to live by. These are 10 great ways to live a successful life. And it's not so much the rule, it's the opportunity. And I don't know about Heartland. I think they still do this, but a long time ago they used to say, these are not the rules of camp, these are the get-tos. Do they still do that? Yeah, because you get to do this. You get to live successfully honoring God's 10 commandments. But I'm going to hone in on just one. And being a family camp, I thought I'd talk about honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth." Now, many of you, I'm guessing, have heard this. And some of you younger ones are probably saying, "Yeah, I hear it all the time. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, but this is right." Yeah, you hear that a lot, I'm sure. Hopefully, you're going to hear it again today. And it'll be just a little bit, and hopefully you'll enjoy it a little bit more. And the more we get it, the more we sink, the more it sinks in. And I'd want to say also that this commandment has a promise, you know, to live long and live well in the land that God is giving you. And so if I were to say, then if we don't obey the commandment, then you'll have a short life and you won't be in a land of prosperity. Well, maybe that would fit. I think it's proverbial, and so it's not quite every case means that, you know, if you disobey the commandment, then you'll have a short life. Because I think we need to redefine what short life is, especially as I get older, I find that life is getting shorter. So Proverbs tells us that, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart and fasten them around your neck." And I would like to ask you to raise your hand, and I don't know if I'd be able to see everybody, it's kind of dark, but raise your hand if you can think of a way, a practical way, that you already honor your parents. Because I'm guessing that everyone here, everyone, at one time or another, had a mom, I would guess. So let's think of ways to honor your mom, to honor your dad. And so what are ways that you're doing already? Is there anything that you're doing to honor them? Empty the dishwasher. That's great. That's my job at home. Yeah. Yes. Being alive. I think that's a key element. It's really honoring to be alive. And let's see, we have one over there. Not being what? Not being annoying. Yes, that honors your parents greatly, I'm sure. Anybody else? Yes. That's good, because it's so easy to be negative in this culture. And so speaking positive really swims upstream, and it really encourages your parents, I'm sure. Yes? I can't get it. Oh, picking up. Thank you so much. I need a translator for English, too. Thank you. Yeah, picking up your toys. There's a bunch of ways, and I'm going to list a few. I want to list a few ways that you can honor your mom and dad. I don't know if anybody said obey, but that's a good one. If you obey cheerfully and immediately. Parents need things done from time to time, and it sure is helpful when you can do it. And if they say do it right away. You'll end up being happier as well as your parents. So obey. How about listen? You listen to your parents. And listen carefully. Listen to what they have to say, because they know some things. And it's pretty handy to have parents, it's pretty handy when they say things, they want you to listen. They want you to be able to obey by listening. And then respect. Respect your mom and dad. Well, that's a hard one. I don't quite understand what respect is, except she had it a little bit when she said have a positive attitude, but respect is having a good attitude, not talking back, and not rolling your eyes, rolling the eyes thing. So respect by avoiding that kind of thing. And here's one way. Just tell your parents, I love you. I mean, that's three simple words. It's not too hard. But just say it to your parents. It really melts their heart when you say that. I know with my own kids, it's just when they, and they still say, I love you, Dad, even though they're old and now both of them are married. Okay, say I love you, and then there's a little bit more here. Spend time just hanging with your mom and dad. Just chill for a little bit with mom and dad and sit next to them. You don't have to hug them all the time. Sometimes you wrestle. But why not just sit next to them and just be there close to them? Your parents will love it, and it honors your parents. It's practical. I like practicality. Here's one. Pray for your parents. Yeah, your parents need all the help they can get. And I think asking God to help your parents is a great way to honor them. So pray. Do you know that God hears you? He hears you when you speak, when you call out to him and say, God, please help my mom and dad. He listens and he hears and he knows just exactly how you're feeling. Then there's write a love letter. Just a nice, my son, when he was real little, he would draw all kinds of things. And usually it had something to do with guns or knives. But he would write things on there. Hey, you know, here's a gun. Dad, love you. And we would always put this stuff on the refrigerator. Because it's not just a love letter, it's a drawing. It's our refrigerator became an art gallery for both our kids, and they just love seeing it. We still have some of their work on our fridge, and we're waiting for it to go, you know, really pricey. We're going to have an auction. One of the best ways, I think, finally, the key best way to honor your parents is to walk with Jesus. Am I right, parents? I mean, when you see your kids committed to Christ, it just sends you through the roof. At least it does for me. My kids, they actually came to Christ and surrendered their lives to Christ my daughter was 5. And we had gone up to the snow, and it was cold, and we had our big jackets, but we were determined to make a snowman. And so my daughter's 5, my son wasn't born yet, and we're just building this huge snowman, and the shape it took was not your usual 3 balls snowman, you know, big ones, medium and small. It looked more like a guy on his knees praying. I don't know how it turned out like that, but he was on his knees and had his hands like this, his head down, and it was just fun to do that, and we all had a big laugh, and we were on our way home, and we were still in the snow, and my wife said, Joe, just pull over, right over here, and so they turned out, and I pulled over, and she gets out, and she says, come on, Hannah, my daughter. So they get out, I get out, and my wife goes over and picks up some snow, kind of a chunk of snow, that was on the side of the road. And now on the side of the road, that's the plow pushes all that snow up there, and it's dirty. It's gray or even brown. And my wife said, Hannah, look at this. And she started scraping away on this snowball. And pretty soon it was white, white as snow. And so my daughter, she said, wow, that's great. And my wife said, Hannah, this is what God does with us. He takes away our sin, because that sin makes it ugly and makes our life miserable. And he says, he takes away our sin, and then we're beautiful in God's eyes and in other people's eyes. And my daughter said, that's great. She said, how do I do that? How does God do that in me? And so we led her to Christ. They're 5 years old. Okay, fast forward 8 years later, My son is now 5 years old. There's an 8-year gap. We call it our college tuition gap between our kids. There's my daughter, and then 8 years later, my son. And so my son, I guess they're all playing. I'm at work. I'm a youth pastor at a church, and so I'm talking on the phone and stuff. I get the call from my wife. She says, Hannah would like to speak with you. And so, sure. And before cell phones, right? I get on the phone, and my daughter says, Seth, my son, Seth just accepted Christ into his heart and is forgiven of his sins. I said, Hannah, how did that happen? She said, I led him to Christ. Like, wow. I was so amazed. I, of course, was in an emotional puddle for the rest of the day. But my daughter led my son to Christ. And when she was only 13 and he's only 5. And we were just so amazed. We thought we could die and go to heaven right now. This would be great. And so kids, children, and we're all children of somebody. So even the adults here, there may be somebody here who has never surrendered their life to Christ. And sometimes that, even at a family camp where you expect everybody to be Christian, you kind of think, and indeed, some people think they're Christian, but they realize at a point in time that maybe I'm not. And so why not let that happen now? Because we were created for God. We were created to have a relationship with God, a relationship of love and peace, and a relationship free of guilt, and a beautiful relationship where there's love and consideration for one another. God wants that relationship with us. And yet, you know the story. Adam and Eve sinned, and that broke the relationship. And they're no longer together. If you're in your sin, you're no longer in with God, in that relationship with God. And so God takes away our sin when we ask, but we need to ask. Because that sin separates us. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the broken relationship. The wages of sin, the relationship that's broken, the wages is death. And he's not talking about just physical death. He's talking about spiritual death, death forever separated from him. And so with that, God sent his son to die for us. And while we were still sinners, we didn't have to clean up first. We didn't have to scrape away the dirt first, because God did that. He said, while you were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's, I think, is the crux. That's the point where the relationship can start to come back together. He died for us. But then we have to agree. We have to ask him to come into our heart. We have to ask him to forgive us our sins. That's our response to the opportunity to come together and have that relationship back together. And so God offers that to us. And he says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And by calling on the name of the Lord, there is now no condemnation, and we are forever sealed in him. And because I'm convinced in Romans 8:38 that neither death nor life, or angels or demons, or the present or the future, nor any powers, or nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, I guess what I would ask is, where are you now? Is your relationship with God now? Are you forgiven? Are your sins washed away? Or would you like that to happen? Because maybe you realize the relationship is not there. Then let's make it happen. And I would not ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. Because I think that if we're going to take a stand for Jesus, we should do it in public. And this is public, a room like this. And so I would ask you, in just a moment, I would say, you may now ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you of your sins. And if you want to do that, stand up and come right down here. Don't, not yet. Why wait? What am I waiting for? What am I saying not yet for? Let's do it right now. So if you would like to come and accept Christ as your Savior and you want him to forgive your sins, however old you are, then just come on forward right now. Just step right up to here, and we'll shake hands, and we'll pray. If you're up for it, and if you're not, there's plenty of time tomorrow. Anyway, okay, so we'll wait for that. We'll wait for tomorrow, perhaps, or maybe after chapel, you want to go and talk to somebody about it. That'd be great too. Talk to your parents. Your parents would love to know. Would love to know where you're at with Jesus. Anyway, so tomorrow morning, I'll be talking more about honoring, not honoring your father and your mother, but tomorrow morning I'll be talking about honoring your children. So those parents that are in the room will really want to, hopefully, you're going to want to come and hear that. So let's pray real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have provided a way for us to restore the relationship that you have created us for. Use us, God, to bring glory and honor to your name, to honor our parents. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.